You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The North American International Auto Show is underway in Detroit with the media preview days leading up to Friday night's big charity preview and then the public opening on Saturday. One hometown automaker is already a big winner. It was announced this morning that General Motors swept the North American Car and Truck of the Year awards. The Chevrolet Silverado was honored as the top truck, and the Corvette Stingray was named the North American Car of the Year. Mark Royce is the outgoing president of GM North America, and he said the honors prove that Detroit is making quality cars again, and people are starting to notice.
This industry is all about momentum, either in a sales or product basis. And, you know, you get people in the company that believe that we can win again, and we demonstrate that here over a couple of years, and we keep demonstrating it. You know, success breeds success.
This week's opening of the auto show marks the 25th year since the show took its jump into the big time. What used to be the Detroit Auto Show became the North American International Auto Show in 1989, and that put Detroit square in the center of the auto show universe. Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh looked into just what it took to make that happen. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Cindy.
So set the stage for us. How important, or should I say unimportant, was the old Detroit Auto Show?
It was pretty unimportant, except to the local dealers. It was pretty much a local show that was intentionally created for January, when in the middle of winter, when things were slow, to try to gin up a little interest in the local market, so people would maybe buy a few cars instead of waiting for spring.
So it really didn't draw attention from elsewhere. And what was the competition? What were the bigger shows?
Well, the three bigger shows in the United States were New York, which was and is a fairly sizable show; Chicago, which has McCormick Place, mm-hmm. and much nicer facility and bigger facility right on the lake, and had always drawn more people; and L.A. And all these shows were bigger back 25 years ago. We're talking 1989. In the 70s and 80s, Americans had started to buy foreign cars, especially Asian, Japanese foreign cars, in fairly substantial numbers, and nowhere was that more evident than out in California. So L.A., the L.A. show had sort of gotten this cachet as a place for the international brands to display, and Chicago and New York got the bulk of the new model introductions from the big three for this market, and Detroit was sort of kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, kind of sounds very parochial. So who hatched the idea of making Detroit's the North American International Auto Show?
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who claim to have been there. You know, it's kind of like, whether or not you saw the Beatles, you know, when they were
at Olympia in 64, you got it.
But there were several key players. One was Heinz Prechter, who is actually 12 years gone now.
Yeah.
was a brilliant German entrepreneur, the founder owner of American Sunroof Company. But he was a German born guy, kind of a citizen of the world, and was very familiar with the big foreign shows in Frankfurt and Geneva, Switzerland, and Paris,
mm-hmm.
and he was active in the Detroit community. He was also he's a political fundraiser for both President Bush's, so he was plugged into a lot of people. And he had heard that, he saw Coleman Young, when Coleman was mayor of Detroit, had cut a deal with the legislature to expand COBO. And this is what created the hotel motel tax, and I think there was a liquor tax.
Yes.
That went along with that for that COBO expansion back in the 80s. And the legislature actually passed it in 85, and they actually started getting going on it around 87. It wasn't finished until the time of the 89 show. But when they heard that COBO was going to have almost double the exhibit space, Heinz thought, this could be it could compete globally. Detroit had the name as the auto capital, and that we could compete globally with some of these other shows if we got all the car companies bought into the idea. And so he went, he called up Emmett Moten, who was then Coleman Young's economic development director, and said, "I need an appointment with the mayor, and I want to bring the Super Bowl to Detroit." Well, at that time, the football Super Bowl was played out you know, football was played in Pontiac back then.
Yeah, we had the Super Bowl there in 82.
Right,
yeah.
And we didn't, it was Ford Field wasn't even a gleam in anybody's eye at that point in Detroit.
Sure.
And Coleman and Emmett Moten wondered what this crazy German guy was talking about, bringing a Super Bowl to Detroit. So, but he took the appointment anyway, and Hines said, you know, this, Detroit could be, you know, this thing attracts more journalists than a Super Bowl, and it does, actually, 5,000 or 6,000 journalists from around the world come in, and it would be a huge boon to the community and a bright, shining star for Detroit, and he just used Super Bowl as an analogy. So he was one of the first. There were a couple of key auto dealers with the Detroit Auto Dealers Association who puts on the show. One was David Fisher, who is still the owner, the primary owner of the Suburban
Sure.
collection in Metro Detroit, and Ken Mead of the Mead Group, another guy with lots of dealers. And Ken had Toyota and Lexus, the Lexus franchise for the new Toyota luxury line that they were going to introduce.
They had
Lexus and Infiniti did their worldwide debuts in 89, and they did them in Detroit. So that was a big deal to get the foreign press here.
But I'm interested whether, did it take some cajoling to get the big three on board with this? Because there they would have to be sitting cheek by jowl at Kobo right next to those Japanese competitors.
Well, exactly. And there was still, you know, a bit of, reluctance to play nice with, you know, companies that, you know, Lee Iacocca was still, you know, pounding his fist on the table about unfair trade practices
right.
And everything at the time. So there was, but on the other hand, GM also had a partnership with Toyota and the old NUMMI plant out in California. So they were starting to realize that, hey, this is a global industry. We play globally. We all have operations in Europe, and this is happening. So, why let other cities reap the benefits of good shows? So the big three got on board, and they talked about, how much money they all had to kick in. So there was a little niff-gnawing about that. And but eventually they got it going, and they said, okay, we're going to call this thing the North American International Show. And we in the press here kind of said, well, okay. And I was the business editor at the time, fairly new in my job.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy named Paul Leinart was my auto writer, and Paul is now head of the Reuters Bureau in Detroit, and it was sort of a goofy thing. So Paul had a little familiarity and said, well, you know, I don't know how this thing really competes with Geneva or Paris or Frankfurt, but, you know, it'll be a nice try. And so instead of the usual 100 journalists that they would get from the Detroit area and, you know, local papers
sure.
and whatnot, they got almost 1,000. They got like 970 from around the world. And then in subsequent years, as it grew more, they got it up. Yeah, 1 year they had 9,000 until they realized they had too many.
It was too much.
Journalists. And they were a little too lax on the definition of a journalist. And there were all kinds of people sneaking in there with press passes.
And eating great food at the Mercedes exhibit.
Well, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And at first they didn't have those big, nice double-decker exhibits with food and everything, but those grew over the years once the auto company realized, holy cow, this is really a pretty big, significant show. It got more elaborate. '89, the price of a charity preview ticket was $50, and that grew up of about $450, at least $400, in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
And then got cut back during the great crash of 2008-09, got cut back to $250 for like 2 or 3 years. And now it's creeping back up. I think it's back up to $350 or $400 now.
Well, those were shaky years during the recession, for sure, but it hung in there. And what do you think the future is now, especially with the new look at Kobo?
Well, the new look, it really looks, what they've done with the atrium really looks great, and they've sort of destroyed the old arena, and which has created some logistical issues for these couple of years of transition, because Ford used to use the old Kobo Arena for its presentations, and last year, maybe the year before, too, has been doing them in Joe Louis Arena, so they got a pathway all set up for the press to walk, but it's a little hoofing to get over there, and it's a monster show, and in a very big industry, and it's they got a lot better electronics and just services. They used to have you know, some issues with the union, you know, laborers, you'd get charged an extraordinary sum to move a cable from here to there, and they've done away with a bit of that gouging over the years. They said, hey, this can't cut it anymore, and of course the convention center now is run by a regional board. It's not owned by the city anymore, as
right,
it was in
right.
Coleman Young's day, and it seems, knock wood, to be doing pretty well. And
it all fits in. Well, it certainly seems like Heinz Prechter's brainstorm all those years ago certainly has paid off in terms of prestige and image, and certainly dollars and cents.
Absolutely, and they say they've done some of those economic impact studies that tend to show about $360 million worth of economic impact from the one show. I was talking to the general manager of the what is now called the Crown Plaza Pontchartrain Hotel, right across the street from Cobo, and this was the old Ponch.
Yep.
in the old days of Detroit, but it had been closed down for like 6 years and had been up and down since then, and seen better days. But the new owners came in, put $20 million into it, put a Crown Plaza flag on it, and got some nice first floor presentation and exhibit space. And I was the French auto supplier Forcia has rented it out to do a nice big fancy display right across the street so it can entertain its customers there. And I guess Lear Corporation, the auto supplier, is doing a big reception there on charity preview night. So lots of nice spillover businesses for local hotels, which are all booked for that whole week. And it's, hopefully we'll get better weather this week than we just went through last week.
Fingers crossed. Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh. Thanks so much, Tom. Good talking with you.
All right. Take care.